That's fine. Then we just put your amendments on whatever you got, and then we'll just keep working it. Work it one more.
I'll just pull my amendments today.
No, I'd go ahead and put them on. I mean, it's better than what we had, isn't it?
Well, it'll help with the. Well, the one I'm doing doesn't change the person, but it changes the.
I don't see Kurt. Has Kurt been here today? I haven't seen Kurt all day.
I haven't seen him this morning.
I have not seen Kurt. If the Senate will please come to order, roll call.
Roll call for Monday, February 9th.
Telephone.
Senator Anderson, District 2. Anderson, District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstetter.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Emmerich.
Here.
Escobel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Hicks.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Kinski.
Here.
Landon. Meyer.
Excused.
Pappas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Von Platern.
Here.
Wasserberger.
Here.
President Nicholas.
Here.
29 present, 1 excused.
The pastor of the day is Father Schumacher from Laramie, St. Lawrence O'Toole. If you would lead us through the prayer. Let me give you a mic there first, Father.
Let us pray. O eternal God of wisdom and of strength, give us, we pray, the wisdom to know what must be done, and then the strength to do it. This we ask in your most holy name. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 6th, 2015, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jeff Wasserberger, Chairman.
You've heard the motion. You've heard the report. Are there any objection? There being none, the report's been adopted. The doctor today, we got sort of the Gillette Mafia going on over here. We got Dr. David Fall, if you could all give him a warm welcome. Senator Wasserberger, you have another guest over there you want to introduce?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce to the body one of my dear friends. Dave Foreman was my boss at Twin Spruce Junior High for 14 years, and he's now a school board member at Campbell County School District. So, Dave, would you stand up, please?
Dr. Paul, being so good, we don't need a nurse today. Senator Anderson.
Yes. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. While we're doing introductions, it's my pleasure to introduce to you, with the red coats on in the balcony up here above, and if they'll Now that they've already stood on their own, I'll ask you to raise your hand as I introduce you. These are the 2014-2015 FCCLA officers. The president is Jonathan Finch, and I will say from Glen Rock. I coached and taught with his dad for years, and so Jonathan Finch is the president. Vice President Adam Jones, Burlington High School. Secretary Nathan Taylor, Mountain View High School. And also Public Relations Casey Kaywood, Tongue River High School. And the parliamentarian Aaron Axmid from Tongue River High School. And I'll just say, if any of you have a size 44 long, I'd like to borrow it for Valentine's Day. Please welcome these fine young people. Thank you, Mr. President.
Today in Wyoming history, in 1911, Platte, Goshen, Hot Springs, and Washoe counties were created by the legislature. The state's never been the same since. Today is the 20th day of the proposed 37-day legislative session. The last day for committee of the House in origin is today. Tomorrow is the last day for second reading in the House of Origin. Messages from the House.
February the 6th, 2015, from the House of Representatives, message number 257, Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill number 187, Marijuana Impact Study, ayes 19, noes 39, excused 2. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Message number 258, Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill number 219, Decorated Combat Veterans License Plates. Ayes 29, noes 39, excused 2. Bill has been indefinitely postponed. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
House bills, first reading. House Bill 31, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 31, Exemption Water Utility, sponsored by Dan Zwanitzer. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 31 is assigned to committee number 7, Revenue. House Bill 32, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 32, Hemp Extract Regulation, sponsored by Representative Kim. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 53, noes 7.
House Bill 32 is assigned to committee number 10, Labor. Let me go back to House Bill 31 and restate that. House Bill 31 is assigned to committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill number 32, we just read in, is assigned to committee number 10, Labor. House Bill 35, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 35, Boards and Commissions, Removal of Appointed Members, sponsored by Representative Dan Zwanitzer. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 49, noes 11.
House Bill 35 is assigned to committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 45, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 45, Health Care Sharing Ministry, sponsored by Representative Barlow. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 45 is assigned to committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 47, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 47, Shipment of Wine, sponsored by Representative Hunt. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 53, noes 3, excused 1.
House Bill 47 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 56, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 56, Wyoming Food Freedom Act, sponsored by Representative Lubholm. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 56 is assigned to Committee number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 66.
House Bill number 66, State Legendary Critter, sponsored by Representative Dan Zwanitzer. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 37, noes 23.
House Bill 66 is assigned to Committee number 8, Transportation. House Bill 74.
House Bill 74, Front License Plate Requirement, sponsored by Representative Blake. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 52, noes 8.
House Bill 74 is assigned to Committee number 8, Transportation. Some people just need to keep out of mischief. House Bill 76, first read the bill.
House Bill number 76, Public Library Endowment Challenge Program Amendments, sponsored by Representative Stubson. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 76 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 77, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 77, Wyoming Retirement System Veteran Service Credit, sponsored by Representative Lindholm. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 77 is assigned to Committee number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 81.
House Bill number 81, Wyoming Lottery Distributions, sponsored by Representative Petroff. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 35, noes 25.
House Bill 81 is assigned to Committee number 3, Revenue. House Bill 85, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 85, Motor Vehicle Passing Bicycles, sponsored by Representative Stubson. Passed the House on an amended form by ayes 33, noes 25, excused 2.
House Bill 85 is assigned to Committee number 8, Transportation. House Bill 86, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 86, Board of Cooperative Educational Services Meetings, sponsored by Representative Petroff. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 86 is assigned to Committee number 4, Education. House Bill 87.
House Bill number 87, Content and Performance Standards, sponsored by Representative Somers. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 49, noes 11.
House Bill 87 is assigned to Committee number 4, Education. House Bill 88, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 88, Health Provider Recruiting Program, sponsored by Representative Wilson. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 57, noes 2, conflict 1.
House Bill 88 is assigned to Committee number 10, Labor. House Bill 93, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 93, Public Service Commission Authority, sponsored by Representative Dan Zwanitzer. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 93 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 96. First reading the bill.
House Bill Number 96, Catering Permit Limitation, sponsored by Representative Brown. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 59, noes 1.
House Bill 96 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 100, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 100, Highway Funding, sponsored by Representative Madden. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 58, noes 2.
House Bill Number 100 is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill 104, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 104, Game and Fish Violations Restitutions, sponsored by Representative Baker. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 51, noes 9.
House Bill 104 is assigned to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 105, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 105, Next Generation 9/11 Task Force, sponsored by Representative Blackburn. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 45, noes 14, excused 1.
House Bill 105 is signed to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 106, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 106, Non-Consensual Towing Services, sponsored by Representative Dave Zwanitzer. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 44, noes 16.
House Bill 106 is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill 107, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 107, Interstate Medical Licensure Compact, sponsored by Representative Wilson. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 107 is assigned to Committee Number 10, Labor. House Bill 109, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 109, Felony Unlawful Possession of Controlled Substances, sponsored by Representative Pelkey. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 43, noes 17.
House Bill 109 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 111, first reading the bill.
House Bill Number 111, Resort Liquor Licenses, sponsored by Representative Pretoff. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 59, noes 1.
House Bill 111 is assigned to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 112, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 112, Capital Construction Grant Eligibility, sponsored by Representative Petrov. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 38, noes 21, excused 1.
House Bill 112 is assigned to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 113, first reading the bill.
House Bill Number 113, Cigarette Certification, sponsored by Representative Gere. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 113 is assigned to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 115, first reading the bill.
House Bill Number 115, Vehicle Registration Timing, sponsored by Representative Escobel. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 47, noes 13.
House Bill 115 is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill 120, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 120, Tribal License Plates, sponsored by Representative Allen. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 53, noes 7.
House Bill 120 is assigned to Committee number 8, Transportation. House Bill 121, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 121, Article 5, Convention Limitation, sponsored by Representative Lorison. Pass the House on third reading in an amended form, ayes 44, noes 15, excused 1.
House Bill 121 is assigned to Committee number 12, Rules. House Bill 122, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 122, Workers' Compensation Permanent Disability, sponsored by Representative Bob Nicholas. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 122 is assigned to Committee number 10, Labor. House Bill 123, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 123, Juvenile Records Expungement, sponsored by Representative Throne. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 123 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 126, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 126, Candidate Filing Requirement, sponsored by Representative Throne. Pass the House on first on third reading. Ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 126 is assigned to Committee number 7, Corporations. Reports from Standing Committee.
February the 9th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 71, Engrossed, Nursing Education Program, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Kraft, Driscoll, Landon, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. February the 9th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 33, Engrossed, Workers' Compensation Premium Experience Modification, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Kraft, Driscoll, Landon, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. February the 9th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 10, Engrossed, Education State Authorization Reciprocity Agreement, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Anderson 02, Co, Dockstader, Pappas, and Rothfuss, Senator Co-Chairman. February the 9th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 23, Next Generation Science Standards 2, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Anderson 02, Co, Dockstader, Pappas, and Rothfuss, Senator Co-Chairman.
We're at that order of business. Bills on second reading. Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, last week we read in House Bill 13, which is State Parks Use of Fees. That has a fiscal note on it. I'd ask to request that that be re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, House Bill 13 is re-referred, or is it reassigned?
Re-referred.
Re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Bills on second reading. Senate File 115. Second reading.
Senate File 115, discrimination.
I think we've got some amendments.
What do you do with that?
We have amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in second reading amendment number 1.
Senate File 115, second reading amendment number 1, page 3, line 14.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I would like to move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 115. Members, if you remember the discussion when we left here Friday, I provided you a spreadsheet. I don't know if you still have that available, but what it did is it just showed the deficiencies within this bill regarding where certain categories or certain classes were not protected. It wasn't enumerated in the statute. So all this amendment does, and I'll walk through the amendment, is just try to bring in these. In some cases, it was archaic language. It hadn't been updated. In other cases, it was just a discriminatory clauses that weren't included in one provision of our statutes that were in another. But with that, Mr. President, what I'd like to do is just walk through. So if we go to page 3, start out with 111-101, qualification of jurors. It just brings in new language that you also can't be discriminated against creed, disability, political affiliation, ethnic background, or ancestry. We go on down the page, and we get to 69101, which is equal enjoyment of public accommodations and facilities. If you turn over to page 4, on the next one, it just brings in, after identified, inserts the word that you can't discriminate for age, creed, disability, political affiliation, economic status, ethnic background, or ancestry. We go on down the page in 69102. Now it brings in the new language, religion, age, disability, political affiliation, economic status, ethnic background, and ancestry. If we go over to page 5. This is now under 9.2.10.22, duties of the department performed through Human Resource Division. Now brings in and inserts the new word disability, religion, political affiliation, national origin, economic status. You can read the rest of the ethnic background. Go down to the bottom of page 5, which brings in the statute 1914-107, which is creation of veterans commissions, composition and terms. Under this new language on page 5, we're going to insert political affiliation, economic status, ethnic background, creed, and ancestry. Go to page 6. Page 6 brings in charter school requirements. Remember, this is for the parents, not necessarily the kids. On page 6, then, it brings in the words race, color, age, disability, creed, national origin, economic status, and ancestry. We go on down to the amendment. We go over to page 7. Under age of registration for first grade and kindergarten preschool programs, it also adds the new language in there that says color, age, creed, disability, political affiliation, ethnic background, and ancestry. Go on to page 7. We bring in statute 214303, which is a right not denied on account of sex, race, or religion. We bring that in, and we also include these other categories on that, which is color, age, national origin, economic status, creed, disability, political affiliation, ethnic background, and ancestry. On the bottom of page 7, under statute 217302, discrimination and compensation prohibited, we insert the word color, age, national origin, economic status, creed, disability, political affiliation, ethnic background, and ancestry. Mr. President, this just tries to conform and bring these all away. Now, page 8, I want to bring your attention, is just a little bit different. It says strike the word gender. What you find through the statutes, that gender and sex are used as synonyms, the same. So all this does is strike in the particular statutes in this bill that use the word gender and just insert sex. That becomes consistent and uniform through the entire bill instead of using two different synonyms for the same thing. So on page 8, line 7, this brings in statute 274302, So at first we strike the word gender. We bring that back in a conforming form with the rest of the language in the bill, and we insert sex, race, color, religion, age, national origin, economic status, creed, disability, political affiliation, ethnic background, and ancestry. Page 8.
Time.
Just ask for your favorable consideration of Senate file or Standing Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 115. Thank you.
We're on the amendment. Discussion on second reading Amendment Number 1. Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate the intent here, certainly, and agree in concept with the need to go back through this. That said, Mr. President, in my reading, it's outside the scope. It's a little too broad for what the bill title indicates, where the bill title, as you see on page 1, is prohibiting discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity as specified. This is a worthy exercise, Mr. President, and I think it would be worth spending some time putting together a piece of legislation for next term to try and bring all of these statutes up to a reasonable standard, recognizing the good proponents' concerns here. I don't know whether, if it was within the scope of the title, whether this would be the right approach or not. I think it would take a lot of work to sit down and weigh whether all of these are appropriate for all of the circumstances. But I do think that's an exercise that potentially we should go through. In fact, I'd be happy to work with the bringer of this amendment to do so. But at this time, Mr. President, I would say that it's outside the scope of the constitutional requirement to be within the title pursuant to Article 3, Section 20 and Section 24 of the Wyoming Constitution, and therefore would urge the body to vote against the second reading Amendment Number 1 for 115.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, it's well within the scope. This is an act relating to discrimination. The rest of the title is merely descriptive as it relates to discrimination. These are descriptive, modifications to the bill that relate to discrimination. It's not outside the scope of the bill. As far as taking time, we can pass it today. You've got all day till third reading to take a look at it.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, could I have a ruling from the chair on the constitutionality of this amendment, please?
Point of order. I believe the ruling of constitutionality is left to the entire body and not just to the chair. And so it would be my feeling that your vote would indicate your feeling about the constitutionality of the issue.
With respect to the issue of constitutionality, if that's the request, the chair declines a ruling of constitutionality. That's not to say other rulings aren't maybe appropriate, but that one's out of order. Senator Von Fledern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I noticed a political affiliation page of the amendment. It's the one that says page 5, line 1, line 15. That's where they want to insert this new language, but political affiliation is also included in this paragraph on page 4, line 22. So it's like political affiliation and then political affiliation again. May just be an error, just that I don't think it's needed there. And as far as supporting, I don't support this amendment. I think it adds a lot of what is already in the statutes, and the language in the statute is agreed nationally. I mean, everybody recognizes what that says. This is just adding a lot of language that they would have to redefine in some court case at some point in time. So standing against the amendment.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, the question is on the addition of the ancestry. Mr. President, I don't know quite how to word this, but on occasion people's ancestry is questioned in the form of son of A, and you can fill in the blank. Is that what's enjoined here, that you can't do that?
Is Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, could I get a ruling for the chair on whether that's germane to the amendment? In all sincerity, Mr. President, I would ask for a ruling from the chair as to whether this amendment is germane to the bill.
The chair rules that second reading number one is not germane to the bill. The reasoning for the ruling is that the bill was designed to prohibit discrimination based upon sexual orientation and gender identity as specified. That's a limiting factor, and this is outside the limiting factors of the title of the bill. There's no objection to the chair's ruling. We move to second reading number two. Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, could we, Mr. President, could please read in second reading?
Please read in second reading amendment number two.
Senate File 115, second reading amendment number two to corrected copy. Delete the second Perkins Committee of the Whole Amendment.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move second reading amendment number two to Senate File 115 and ask the body to vote aye. What this is this comes back, and what we had in the second reading amendment is this term about expressive associations, and that's what Committee of the Whole Amendment number two was. What this does is comes back and tries to address some of the concerns that were brought up in the debate over that amendment with respect to expressive associations, and tries to narrow that down to some degree to where you have an expressive association's primary purpose and function are granted in religious teachings. The object being that, for example, the organization we were referring to the other day, they have, you know, various forms. There's a lot number of youth development organizations that are out there besides just the one we referred to on Friday that have to do those things. But in most of those situations, what you find is they're granted in maybe not a specific religion. They may be broader than that, but there are a number of those types of associations out there that and so the purpose of this is to narrow that just a little bit. So we have a combination of those elements there that the primary purpose has to be religious teachings, that they're not organized for private profit, that the employment activities would otherwise be subject to the article but for this exemption, and then tries to also pull in the language with respect to the Supreme Court case that talked about expressive association under the First Amendment. And so that's what this does. It's the same one. It just replaces the language in the second reading amendment for expressive association in both places, so it's identical both in the two places that it would appear in the bill. Yeah, with that, I'd stand for questions. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I was just wondering, in regard to line 37, as a state which is not organized for private profit, how is that determination made? It seems like, from what I understand, there's some corporations that are quite profitable, yet they're listed as non-profit. So I just wonder if we could have some discussion on what constitutes not organized for private profit.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. On for the amendment, though, I still have some concerns, and maybe we can get at some of them. Mr. President, the first concern is whether or not an expressive association can be a small group that I put together within a corporation. I don't know what the restrictions are on forming an expressive association. For example, if I'm working for a corporation and decide that I do want to hire somebody, within the parameters of this legislation and have this exemption available. Can I form an expressive association that is not for profit within my for-profit corporation and then do things along those lines, or would I have to be hiring within the expressive association? I'm just a little confused on when I can and can't use this, and maybe we need more clarification on that. But, Mr. President, I would say I appreciate the bringer of the amendment. I think this does further clarify from the previous version, and I urge the body to support this amendment, even if it's not quite perfect yet. I think we're getting in a nice direction.
Further discussion on the amendment? Further discussion? Returning to the movement for a second time, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Trying to address those questions. Obviously, this is more narrow. In fact, if you go to lines 21 through 25, which are identical to the lines 42 through the bottom of the page and the top two pages, that's the same language. That's kind of where we left it off. That's very similar to the language that's all the Second Amendment in the committee, the whole reading amendment number two was. So what we're talking about is those first A, B, and C that we see in the amendment here. And so with respect to the private profit, I think that when you look at those, I think that's the language that it also picked out, meaning the intent was that be a nonprofit. But you can't have a nonprofit or an association that's organized that can't be owned by a private individual, and there can't be any benefit, financial benefit, that inures to any private individual in that type of an organization. So you could have a for-profit entity could form one of those, but it couldn't really own it. I mean, they could support one and they could donate money to it and some things like that, but they can't necessarily own it and can't be a subsidiary of that for-profit corporation. And so what we're trying to do is limit that to these things that are more in the nature of a nonprofit. Oftentimes it would be a 501c3, although not always. There has to be some religious teaching involved or an underlying purpose in that, which would narrow from just any purpose. So if your purpose was to simply nonprofit would show up and rail at the weather or whatever it might be, or show up and protest funerals and things like that, may not necessarily have their creeds or their codes of conduct founded in religious teachings. And so that's the purpose of this, is trying to narrow that down so it's not quite so wide open and would help folks understand a little bit more, instead of just having the term expressive association, trying to define that a little bit and restrict that a little bit more so it's not available to everybody. I'm not satisfied with the language yet, still working on it, but I think this is a step that probably goes a little bit to relieve some of the concerns that were in the amendment that was originally provided on second reading, Mr. President.
We're on amendment number two, the question having been called for. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oh, pardon me. I apologize. I mean, that was the movement second discussion on that amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Sorry, man. The motion's been adopted. The amendment's been adopted. We're now on second reading number three. If the reading clerk would please read on the amendment.
Senate File 115, second reading, amendment number 3, page 1, line 3.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to move second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 115. Mr. President, what this amendment does is essentially remove out the private sector from this bill, Mr. President, and I would argue that it's appropriate to do that in making, and also as part of the amendment, Mr. President, is that I've eliminated all the religious exemptions and the language about religious exemptions. I feel that's also appropriate because if the private sector is removed from the bill, I don't see where you need the religious exemptions. If anybody disagrees with me, the amendment could be divided to have the issue of religious exemption separate from the issue of private sector. But that certainly is my intent, and I'd like to just walk you through the amendment a little bit, Mr. President. What it would do is that if you go to page 3, what is now Section 2 would now become Section 1 of the bill. All the religious exemption previously would not be there. We would indeed have remaining 111-101 qualifications of a juror. Line 17 on, 69-101, equal enjoyment of public accommodations and facilities would remain, Mr. President. You know, I had a little trouble with that. Accommodation facilities are private businesses, but there's a long-established practice there of non-discrimination. I struggle with that, but I didn't choose to eliminate that. I may on a further reading, Mr. President. 69102 is removed from the bill. That's discrimination prohibited and penalties. 921022, the duties of the Department of Workforce Services, remains in the bill. Page 5, 144201, quality child care, remains in the bill. These are folks that received state monies to provide child care services. 1914107, the Veterans Commission, remains in the bill, government function. 213304, charter schools, remain in the bill. 214302, age for registration in kindergarten and first grade, remains in the bill. 303, the right of children to attend schools, remains in the bill. 217302, discrimination with respect to teacher salaries, remains in the bill. Mr. Chairman, next page. Page 8, 274302, prohibition on paying employees less for same work. Removed from the bill, Mr. Chairman. Private sector activity, people have the right to be stupid, if you ask me. 279105, discriminatory and unfair employment practices, also removed from the bill, Mr. Chairman. Down to the bottom of page 9, 351602 remains in the bill, as does the next page, 10, 354131. This is the consent, this is about healthcare facilities, that where it says that they have to treat people regardless of age and sex. It's actually in a statute about not refusing service to minors. But that, I've left that in the bill, Mr. President. That's another of the gray areas. This could be an entirely private person that doesn't take Medicaid, whatever, but I left healthcare in the bill. 424107. That's about Medicaid and Medicaid payments, Mr. President. That remains in the bill. So, Mr. President, why have I done this? You know, it goes back to the right of the individual to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, part of liberty is making choices, even if they're the wrong choices. Life and pursuit of happiness, that's about your education and your job and your welfare and who you associate with in business. Doesn't make it right that you choose to discriminate against people, but it is our Constitution. That's actually in of course, our Declaration of Independence, Mr. Chairman. Also, Mr. Chairman, from our Constitution in the preamble, it says, secure the blessings of liberty. This is not a bill about the blessings of liberty for some people, for the private sector, Mr. Chairman. And I would urge that folks be allowed...
Time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hicks.
Hide the amendment.
Okay.
Division 1 would be line 2 through line 17... and then inclusive of line 26 through 42. That would be Division 1. Division 2 would be line 19 through 24.
Return to the movement. Does the movement agree that that is divisible in that method?
Agree.
Chair determines that it is divisible. Division number 1 is lines 2 through 17 and 26 through 42. Division number 2 is lines 18 through 25. We're on division number 1, discussion on the amendment. Senator Case. Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want a clarification because in Division 2, they include deleting 6-9102A, but I think that's not addressed till you get to Division 1. So, I mean, I'm sure they can clean it up. I just wanted to make sure I think that's correct. It goes on page 4. Page 4, line 6 through 11 is in Division 1. Under lines 26 through 43 in the amendment, but it's mentioned up in line 20 of Division 2. So I think that either needs to be cut out of there or they can clean it up. It's just not.
The chair's ruling was that it's divisible as requested. It will take a second for the movement of the division, Senator Hicks, to determine whether he wants to proceed as he moved or whether he believes that there's a better organizational. Just take a moment. Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that we leave the division as proposed because it just addresses the committee of the whole amendments. It doesn't specific to the bill. The next lines, Division 2, 18, 25 are specific to the bill.
Okay. The movement, chair's ruled that the movement's request is divisible, and in light of his rear review, I mean, you can also divide something out separately again if you choose to, but the movement's motion was in order. Senator Rothfuss.
Order on that, Mr. Chairman. Maybe I've got the wrong numbers here, but the only thing I see in Division 2, lines 18 through 25, which is my understanding of Division 2, I guess I'll pause right there, is 18 through 25 your understanding of Division 2? Is that the correct line numbers?
The division was lines 18 through 25.
Okay. Then, Mr. Chairman, all that is doing in lines 18 through 25 is removing three entities from the list that is provided as Section 2 as three things that are amended to read, and then it's later on in the legislation that they're actually amended. So that's just internal consistency purposes where you're making the statement in the legislation that there's an amendment to read, and then you've eliminated the portion of the amendment that would actually amend them. So I would say that it's actually not divisible in that fashion. The bringer of the division might mean those to be included, but they're not. So I don't believe it's divisible as proposed.
On the point of order, Senator Case.
The divisibility of the amendment. I think it is divisible. I don't think this is the best way to do it, Mr. President. I would suggest that if we wanted to eliminate the religious exemptions on the division, we should stop with lines 1 through 17 and just discuss that. The rest are somewhat intertwined. The Section 2 heading does include all the things that are further deleted below. They're not on point to the religious issue. There may be a tangential religious implication, but they're not precisely on point. I think it would be a cleaner division if we did lines 1 through 17 as number 1 and 18 through 44 as number 2. But I yield, of course, to the bringer.
Back to the movement, where it's on the point of order. Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I do think based on the good senator from Fremont County suggestion, it does start to clear this up on this issue. So if I can amend my...
Why don't you withdraw your division and then re-ask and state a new division?
Mr. President, I would withdraw my current suggestion on the division. Mr. Chairman, I would propose that the division is going to be lines 1 through 17 would be Division 1. line 18 through 43 would be Division 2.
So as currently requested, the prior division having been withdrawn, the current division is now Division number 1 is lines 2 through 17. And the second division is lines 18 through 42. We're on division number 1. Discussion on division number 1. Any discussion, Senator Case?
Well, Mr. President, as we've discussed this religious exemption, I've become more convinced of the kind of the torturous nature of this bill. You see how difficult it's been for us to craft a religious exemption. I think we all think probably a religious exemption is a good idea at some level. Religion should be allowed to be freely practiced. You should be able to hire who you want. Your faith and beliefs should enable that to happen. That's part of liberty in the United States of America. But at the risk of straying slightly, that's my point, that if we have to so torturously define religion, which to me can be a very, very broad thing, that maybe we should have a elimination of requiring this to be done by ordinary citizens in the course of earning their livelihood without any connection with interstate government or government funding whatsoever.
Discussion on Amendment Number 1, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. On Division Number 1, Mr. President, I rise in opposition to this particular one. If you look at the way the bill is structured in 115, the Division Number 1 deals with criminal statutes. That's why you find the religious exemption occurring in there a couple of times. But the Division Number 1 deals with criminal statutes. And in doing so, when you look at that, Mr. Chairman, while I think that the Constitution probably protects the primary religious organizations of any church, when you go out and study those cases, you have the free exercise of religion. So certainly the ecclesiastical and ministerial portions of a religion are probably already protected and probably don't necessarily need this exemption. The reason that I brought, the reason we had the exemption was there, and the reason I brought the exemption that I did, and while I think it's important that it remain, is that today religions have all kinds of auxiliary and ancillary functions that they do. They do things. They have youth organizations. They have medical facilities. They have social service agencies. They have food banks. They have all kinds of auxiliary organizations. Some of them run schools, where while 1 or so hour a day might be developed to specifically a religious instruction, the rest of it is devoted to reading, writing, and arithmetic. And so by providing those exemptions, it recognizes that as any particular religion provides and maintains its essence, that it's able to do that through a broad range of things that otherwise might not be protected when we look at the constitutional requirements that are on this. Constitutions, obviously, like I say, would allow worship in very broad terms to be recognized, but when you go beyond strictly the worship and go to the other types of functions and activities and services that they provide, I don't think that there's enough protection in there, and so I would support maintaining the religious exemption, particularly in the criminal section of this statute. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion on Division Number 1 to Amendment Number 3, Senator Case.
This exemption, the religious exemption, would obviously stand alone. You could vote for it, and it would, you know, it'd be sort of an extra level of protection. You can also, vote against it. It would remain in the bill, and it would be sort of an extra level of protection for religion. And so you could vote against this first division and for the second division. And the second division, Mr. President, it's not inconsistent because it would stand on its own. So you can kind of vote your conscience on this, I think. But the point I would make is that as religious activities get farther into things that are not mainstream worship, maybe we have emails about child care provided by churches saying they shouldn't be part of this. And so Churches can provide all sorts of services. I'm saying a better way is to say, stay out of the private sector, acting without funding from government, without being in interstate commerce. It's just a lot cleaner. But it'll stand either way.
Question having been called, we're on division number 1 to amendment number 3, which is lines 2 through 17. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has failed. We're now back on amendment number 3, division number 2. Discussion on division number 2. Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, I also believe that people can be stupid and should be allowed to be stupid. But when it affects other people, that's where they trespass. So when it's hurting my rights by taking it out of the working part of this bill or for private industry, that's when they're making the mistake. So I ask you to vote no on this section of the amendment.
Senator Perkins.
On and against this division for basically the same reasons. The only difference between this one, the first one had to do with criminal statutes. This has to do with various employment, not all employment, but mostly employment situations. When you go through the bill itself, if you look at those, most of those, all the ones that are in there at, you see quality child care, all the ones that are in at 22 are basically under education. When you get under, when you look under pages 8 and 9 have to do with general employment and unfair employment practices of the bill. And so again, when you look at this thing, as you look at that, I think that it's a question that you have to ask yourself. I think the religious exemption is wholly appropriate. The other question then is when you look at that and what the intent is that this would exempt anybody in basically, as I understand the amendment, would exempt anybody from having to comply with the discrimination laws with respect to their private businesses. And you can decide that for yourself. And so, you know, and I can certainly see, Mr. President, both sides of that argument. But at the end of the day, and you're going to have to vote your conscience. I think this also indicates and raises a significant number of constitutional questions. As you go and once you've entered to the interstate stream of commerce and how that applies, the legislation we pass here may or may not have much effect on things that are interstate. Things that are purely intrastate or things that are more narrow in focus, they may have some ability and some function there, but ultimately, at this point, it may provide some protection because of the expansion the primary bill gives. I would assume that I think at some point we'll find that those are certainly restricted. But you can vote how you want to. At the end of the day, it's as people come into your place of employment and ask for a job, you can certainly understand, I believe, the religious exception points because these things are so intertwined in a person's faith. When it's outside the faith, certainly people don't leave, and certainly we all try and practice religion 7 days a week as opposed to just on Sundays. But at some point, as it enters everybody's lives and as you come into a place of employment and decide that, you have to decide for yourself whether you think that's appropriate or not. Is it fair to discriminate in employment, and just in general employment, based upon a person's sexual orientation? Now, whether that be heterosexual or homosexual or some other orientation, or whether that's going to be whether that's perceived on gender identity or whether that's positive or negative in your mind. I can tell you that most of us here, when we look at, if you think about your friendships and your relationships, most of us here have someone who has sexual orientation that maybe we don't agree with, or we know someone who has who struggles with gender identity, which may be even the more difficult of the two. Life is a funny thing, and you have to going to have to search your conscience and vote on this. But I think that the religious exception is entirely appropriate, and would ask you to defeat the second division number 2, Mr. President. Thank you.
Division number 2 to amendment number 3. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on and for the amendment. And I guess I'll give a little bit of perspective that some of you may or may not know. As far as my employment practices, I've employed homosexuals before. I have no problems with it. They've done a good job when they were there. I think of I don't look at people myself personally as having any disability or any discriminatory factor. I just look at whether or not they can get the job done. And I think that's the way most employers are. But folks, you know, I'll preface the rest of my remarks by saying I'm not the most politically correct person on this floor, nor am I the most sensitive. So if I offend someone, I guess get over it, guys. You know, it's just me. So, Mr. President, I look at this section and I say that the amendment is probably something where I could maybe even support this bill with the amendment, which is a big stretch for me. But I look at it and I say for the last 30 years, Hollywood and the media have been telling us and me how to think on this issue. And simply, I don't believe it's the state's job to tell the people in private business how to think. I really think we've crossed the line here in this area. Now, I can see that if it's government money and we want to proceed with this or there's that nexus, then fine, we can have that discussion. But I think that we're really telling people how to think in their daily lives. And one of the things, Mr. President, that I try to do is that I try to make sure that government doesn't interfere with the common folk going down the road or anybody in business in their daily lives. Government shouldn't be getting into that. It's not our place. So, Mr. President, I hope that we can support this amendment. I think it strikes a balance to this bill. Frankly, it's a choice, and we're developing a protected class that hasn't existed. And I don't know where we stop developing protected classes based on people's choices, because there's a lot of other choices out there that may or may not become a protected class. I look at the other things that are associated with discrimination: race, creed, color, sex. Nobody has a choice on that. But, Mr. President, we're developing a protected class, and we're telling people how to think. And that's overstepping what government should be doing. And I hope that we can have this particular amendment go forward. And if we want to have a discussion about developing a protected class based on choice for the governmental functions and the money that's associated with that, fine, Mr. President, but the regular citizen deserves just to be able to get along and not worry about what we're doing down here on this floor, so they don't have to worry about who they're hiring, why they're hiring them. All they have to do is worry about is whether or not that person can do the job. And we've stepped over the line, Mr. President.
We're on division number 2, Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I'm on for the amendment. With the idea that one of the fact sheets that I handed out to you yesterday from the Department of Workforce Services says under the federal law, when you go into the department or the Equal Opportunity Commission under a Supreme Court ruling that come out there, said under those egregious cases where we have employers, whether you're private or public, there's already a remedy for this problem that exists today. If you pull that handout that I give you, this is from the Department of Workforce Services. So in those cases where you have stereotyped somebody and you take an adverse employment action, you are already covered under the federal law. The remedy is already there for these people that perpetrate discrimination against these protected classes at the federal level.
On division number 2, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm against division number 2, and I appreciate the thought behind division number 2, and what that is to try and keep the government out of business and out of employment. But the reality is, these are existing statutes that are being indicted. And it's a change to those classes in the statute. But page 8 and page 9, for example, it's already the state of Wyoming getting involved in employment law and providing for protected classes, for example, no discrimination based on conditions or privileges of employment against a qualified disabled person or any other person otherwise qualified because of age, sex, race, creed, color, national origin, ancestry, or pregnancy. So this is an argument that took place in this chamber quite a while ago, and we're redoing the argument. In this instance, we're trying to solve potentially the concerns of the past through a protection of two groups of people in the present. And I can understand, Mr. President, the concern for the whole approach to protected classes, but what this division of the amendment does is say the law is perfect for certain protected classes, but not good enough for other protected classes, and effectively creates different levels of protected classes, which is probably more awkward than anything else could be. Mr. President, I would suggest that if this is a fight that the bringer of this amendment wants to bring, then the requirement would be to eliminate 6-9, 100, 101, 102, and eliminate completely 27-9, 105, and the other portions of statute. That would be consistent with what the good senator from Carbon County and the good senator from Fremont County were discussing. In this instance, though, this is not the battlefield for that particular fight. This is a circumstance where we're trying to provide protections in the current protected class structure for a basis of sexual orientation or gender identity, and that's keeping our statutes internally consistent. That's an important aspect of this legislation, is to make sure that we're applying it across the board. And for those reasons, Mr. President, I would urge the body to reject the second division of this standing or second committee, second reading amendment.
Final discussion on the amendment. Final discussion. Back to the movement for division number 2 to amendment number 3, Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I'd be remiss if I didn't stand here and recall for this Senate the events that occurred about, you know, a few years ago when we debated a bill about preventing Wyoming from recognizing marriages or civil unions brought in from other states. It's one of the hardest fought efforts I have ever participated in. I know it was gut-wrenching for everybody here. It was gut-wrenching for me. I think you know which side of that I was on. My best friends are gay. I love them dearly. This is not about being gay. Mr. President, there is more to liberty than a religious exemption. You don't have to exercise liberty in America through your religion. That's not the only way you get liberty. You get liberty as our U.S. Constitution talks about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, in Wyoming, we say, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, Mr. President. I want to exercise my livelihood the way I want. It doesn't include your belief systems about who I should hire or discrimination. I'm sorry about that, but I have the right to do that. Mr. President, I remember these words from that debate a few years ago. Section 7, no absolute arbitrary power. Absolute arbitrary power over the lives, liberty, and property of free men exists nowhere in a republic, not even in the largest majority. We can pass laws about places that use government money. We can tell them how to spend the money. We can pass laws under the U.S. Constitution about interstate commerce, Mr. President. But you can't tell people who they should hire and who they shouldn't in their private business. And I go back and I say, it's a stupid idea that you would discriminate on this basis. But liberty includes the right to be stupid.
The question having been called for, we are on division number 2, which is lines 18 through 42 of amendment number 3. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has failed. Division having been called for, all those in favor, please stand. Eleven, all those opposed, please stand. Eighteen, the amendment has failed. All of amendment number 3 to division number 2 has failed. We're now back on the bill. Any discussion back on the bill? Senate File 115, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 116, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 116, Legislature Compensation.
Any amendments or discussion? Senate File 116, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 124, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 124, Sales and Use Tax Enforcement.
Senate File 124, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 130, second reading of the bill.
Senate File number 130, Lottery Commission Reporting Requirements.
Senate File 130, no amendments or discussion. Senate File 130, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 133.
Senate File 133, Bighorn Sheep Relocation.
In a peculiar sort of way.
No amendments or discussion. Senate File 133, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 144.
Senate File 144, Microbreweries Minimum Barrel Requirement.
Senate File 144, no amendments or discussion. Having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, we do have a consent list. The third reading consent list is as follows. Senate File 95, speed limits. Senate File 121, career and technical training grants. Senate File 122, Vision 2020. Senate File 134, Bighorn Sheep Plan, substitute bill number 1. Senate File 136, expedited EMT licensing. And Senate File 138, small business innovation research matching funds.
Would any member of the Senate ask to have any of those bills removed from the list?
Yes, Mr. President.
Senator Coe.
Respectfully request that Senate File 95 be laid back for one day.
Without objection, Senate File 95, speed limits, will be set back one additional day to be heard on third reading tomorrow. Any other requests? Having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 121, career and technical training grants. Senate File 122, Vision 2020. Senate File 134, Bighorn Sheep Plan, substitute bill number 1. Senate File 136, expedited EMT licensing. Senate File 138, small business innovation research matching funds. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
No.
Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Scott.
No.
Von Fladern.
Aye.
Wasserberger.
Aye.
President Nicholas.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed on the consent list. 28 aye, 2 no. Senate file 121. Are there any changes? Bebout, aye to no. Peterson, aye to no. Scott, aye. Coe, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Driscoll.
Nicholas, aye to no.
Nicholas, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Barnard, aye to no. Emmerich, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate file 121. 18 aye, 12 no. Senate file 122. Are there any changes? Driscoll. Driscoll, aye to no. Johnson, aye to no.
Hicks, aye to no.
Closing vote. Closing, vote closed. Senate file 122, 25 aye, 5 no. Senate file 134, are there any changes? Case aye to no. Burns aye to no. Von Fladern aye to no. Closing vote. Scott? No to aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate file 134. 26 aye, 4 no. Senate file 136. Are there any changes? Scott? No to aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate file 136. 29 aye, 1 no. Senate file 138. Are there any changes?
Case aye to no.
Peterson aye to no. Dockstader aye to no. Hicks aye to no. Geis aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no.
Burns,
aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Closing vote. Perkins, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate file 138, 18 aye, 12 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority members elected to the Senate, Senate files 121, 122, 134, 136, and 138 have passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business.
Is that you?
General file.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself and committee the whole to discuss bills on general file.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion has been adopted. Senator Coe.
The committee of the whole, please come to order. First bill for our consideration is Senate File 145. Reading clerk, please read the Senate file.
Senate File 145, Hospital Uncompensated Care, sponsored by Senator Peterson. It was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Kraft, Driscoll, Landon, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman. It was re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass failed in accordance with Senate Rule 5-4. Ayes, Senator Hastert. No, Senators Perkins, Ross, and Wasserberger. Excuse, Senator Byrne, Senator Ross, Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I move in the committee of the whole rise and report it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 145 do pass. There was a standing committee amendment. I ask it be read in at this time.
The reading clerk, please read the amendment.
Senate File 145, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, that substitute Number 1 be substituted for Senate File 145, and that substitute Number 1 do pass.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. Mr. Chairman, the Standing Committee Amendment is substitute bill. We did a couple of things of substance, and they got complicated. We switched from uncompensated care to uncompensated charity care. We removed some conflicts potentially and uncertainties with the Medicaid program and the interaction there. And we felt that it would be much easier to explain to the Senate the bill if we used a substitute bill. So the Standing Committee amendment is to replace the original 145 with a substitute bill, and I urge its adoption.
Discussion on the Standing Committee amendment. Questions on Senator Scott's motion that the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 be adopted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I yield to the sponsor of the bill, Senator Peterson.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We bring to you Senate File 145. It has been worked over pretty in-depth in a very short amount of time. There are some other amendments, Mr. Chairman, and I think that we ought to let me, first of all, explain the bill in its entirety, and then we'll deal with those amendments later on. The reason for this, Senate File 145, Mr. Chairman, is the fact that, like you, many of you, I went home after last session feeling pretty good about making a tough stand on the same subject that we had this session, doing something with Medicaid, doing something about this uncompensated care that our hospitals, providers, mental health, dentists, all the providers for health care are facing. And many of my constituents agreed with me. A few didn't, much like probably in your case. But when my hospital administrator got a hold of me, of the three hospitals that are in my district, they said, you know, we congratulate you on your conservative approach, Senator, but here's our uncompensated cost. What would you suggest about this? And so handed out to you, you have a packet of about four sheets, and I'm just trying to explain, to try to give you the entire picture in a very short amount of time, serving on Labor and Health, It's been very frustrating. As we consider this moving target, and that would be an understatement, we don't know what the federal partners are doing. We know that there are concerns about Medicaid as a whole. It's been referred to on this floor as a broken system. I would agree in part with that. What you have before you is the first page is a form that's entitled 2552-10, a CMS form. This is a worksheet that each hospital in our state fills out when they supply or submit their Medicaid, Medicare reimbursements. This is the form that we're going to be basing a lot of our distribution or this Senate File 145 on. Now, admittedly, Senate File 145 is a stopgap measure. That's all it is. It's a finger in the dike. It's like the scaffolding on our nation's capital right now. It's very ugly, but it's necessary. That's what this bill reminds me of. The important part of this first form is you get down to line 23, cost of charity care, and that's the amount of charity care that our hospitals are incurring. You turn the page to the second spreadsheet, you have two definitions that we're talking about, bad debt and charity care. How are they different? The explanations are on the bottom of that sheet. Bad debt consists of services for which hospitals anticipated budgeted did not receive payment. In contrast, charity care consists of services for which the hospital did not expect to receive any payment. That's the difference. Bad debt is services that you provide that you expect some type of payment, a portion maybe, but something. Charity care is, we know going in, providing these services, that we're not going to receive a dime. So that's the difference between bad debt and charity care. What 145 deals with is just the charity care. Not Medicaid reimbursements, not bad debt, just the charity care. So you can see your hospitals listed here. There are two separate distinctions between hospitals in the state of Wyoming. We have critical access, which is 16 smaller hospitals. And then we have the PPS acute hospitals, the larger hospitals that are quite larger in size. That's the second page. You turn the page to the third page, and now we break down what the original Senate File 45 was considering, the $10 million appropriation. $10 million, that figure came from the amount of money that would have been received by these hospitals if Medicaid expansion had passed. That wasn't just a number that we just drew out of the air. That was estimating the amount of uncompensated care, Medicaid, the uncompensated care that the hospitals would have received if that expansion Senate File would have passed. So that explains the $10 million. This first, or the third page, is if the appropriation were for $10 million, and it is broken out, combining all the hospitals, regardless of size, on the percentage of uncompensated care, going back to that original page on the front of your documents there. So that's where you get the total percent column. That's based on the total percent of the $10 million of the uncompensated care that the hospitals were claiming. One more item on that first form. That first form is audited. It's audited, and it's also settled upon by the hospitals and CMS. So it's been vetted. I need to bring out that point. These are not just claims from the hospital, and they get automatic reimbursement. In a lot of cases, the hospitals have to submit additional payments for maybe the wrong estimation, or a lot of times they receive additional payments from CMS for their Medicare, Medicaid reimbursements. So it works both ways. But the important thing to remember here is this form on the front of your documents has been vetted, okay? It's been audited. It's the best we can do. The last page. This is the page that would probably be the most benefit to you. Again, now we've separated the acute care hospitals from the critical access hospitals in size. So on the top, you have your few larger hospitals, and on the bottom, you have your critical access hospitals. One of the concerns of Senate File 145 was the distribution. As you saw from those initial pages, the larger hospitals got a majority of of what we were talking about. In my mind, I thought, seems fair to me. They're seeing most of the patients. They have the largest amount of uncompensated care. Here's the argument on the other side, the flip side. Larger hospitals have more services that they provide. They might have a number of different, more expensive equipment to provide tests. My point is they can spread these bad debts, this uncompensated care, across a larger spectrum of those services to try to recoup some of those lost debts. Smaller hospitals, the critical access hospitals, don't readily have that available to them. They don't have those services. They can spread it out. In a lot of cases, the smaller hospitals, these critical access hospitals, have one option, that is to reduce staff or reduce services even more. You can go across the chart on that fourth page, and you can see the percentages now were broken out separately from the two categories that we've separated these hospitals using. Again, these are designated CMS designations of the critical access and the PPS hospitals, acute care hospitals. So that's understood. But you have, and this might be a good time to talk about some of the amendments, Mr. Chairman, but you have two columns on the right, a $5 million appropriation and a $2.5 million appropriation. So at a glance, members, you have an idea of $10 million appropriation, $5 million appropriation, and $2.5 million appropriation, what your hospitals would receive if Senate File 145 were to pass. Mr. Chairman, there is some amendments on Senate File 145, and I'd ask for the first committee to hold.
Senator minute. Peterson, I think we should deal with the second standing committee amendment first and then go to
I'm sorry, yes.
Amendments.
Let's do that one first, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Senate File 145, Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 to Substitute Bill Number 1, page 4, line 21.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The substitute or the amendment from the second standing committee amendment was basically contingent on Medicaid expansion passing. That having failed, I think this amendment is no longer viable and would ask for it to be withdrawn.
That amendment's been withdrawn. We have committee the whole amendment number one, the Ross amendment.
Senate File 145, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Substitute Bill Number 1. Delete the second standing committee amendment.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 145. Members of the Senate, what this does is it goes in and it strips the appropriation of $10 million. Now, why do I do that? $10 million.
I know why.
The reason I do that is twofold. First of all, I think the good sponsor of this bill illuminated part of it when he had you look at the second page of how this $10 million would be distributed. First of all, assuming that this is even a good idea, we all know that this is a one-time shot. Whether or not this is just a Band-Aid, or are we really trying to address an overall problem? But if you looked at the way in which that money was distributed, you would see that the larger hospitals, including mine here in Cheyenne and Natrona County, got about one half of the money. Now, if the purpose of this bill is to save our rural critical access hospitals, the $10 million, as it was, doesn't get the job done. In fact, the big get bigger and the smaller get smaller. So, but the overarching reason that I bring this amendment is, as your appropriations chairman, we simply, when you look at readily available money now, we simply do not have $10 million. We don't. At best, we've got $4.4 million if you look at your goldenrod.
We simply cannot afford this appropriation. So I'd urge your favorable consideration of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1.
Discussion, Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking on and for this amendment, I was also trying to do the math, so I'll ask the sponsor or somebody. It didn't. If this is the page we're getting the $10 million from, the three lines, that's how they came to the $10 million. I tried to do the math, and it didn't work out to the total share of appropriations times the percent, and it's like a 0.72%. So, I mean, is that less than 1%? They didn't seem to add up anyway. But I also would mention to the body, this is a one-time funding. All the hospitals are sharing the pain of the uncompensated charity care, and this won't do them any good in the long run beyond today, and they're only getting a portion. And then another question for the sponsor, is this cost or is this retail actually billed? That would be a question I'd have for him, too.
Further discussion? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Having so much going through my mind, I forgot to mention that the distribution on that last page, there was some concern as we worked this bill of the distribution ratio in the smaller hospitals versus the larger hospitals. And I think I tried to explain the concerns there. But what we did was we did the larger hospitals one-third, smaller hospitals two-thirds. Then we took that amount of the one-third, two-thirds, and basically applied that percentage from that worksheet separately in those two groups. So we did that initial computation right from the get-go with the one-third, two-thirds, and then basically applied that to the worksheet with the percentages of unclaimed, uncompensated care on charity care. So hopefully that explains that last sheet. As far as the $10 million appropriation, I know it's a lot of money, especially in this budget session, or in this session. It feels like the budget session with the lack of revenue that we have as we've had in the last 8 or 10 years. But I would bring this point, and the simple fact is, in the years that I've been here on this floor, I've seen this body and our counterparts down the hall move very quickly on projects that were deemed to be appropriate. So when there's a will, there's a way. And it's a matter of priorities. Might be part of that equation this year is that we have less revenues to work with. I'll certainly admit that, Mr. Chairman. But let's talk about the priorities. I mean, anybody with limited revenue, as we've had in our little county as a county commissioner, we were very accustomed to being forced into making those priorities and saying no many, many times. And so I would say, let's look at, as we review the budget, what our priorities are. And we've talked about the importance of the safety net. Medicaid, a safety net, possibly. But now we're getting down to the brass tacks. This is our safety net. The providers in Wyoming that are providing uncompensated care, that is our safety net. When that disappears, you can throw all the Medicaid dollars you want at it. If there's no providers accepting Medicaid, we don't have a safety net. So the hospitals that have emergency care services, emergency room services, that are designated as critical access or acute care hospitals, they qualify under this stopgap measure, this Band-Aid that we're talking about. So vote this up, vote this down, this amendment, $10 million. It is a large chunk of money this session, no doubt about it. But I'd ask you to look at your priorities, review your priorities in your mind. It's an important issue. Certainly not going to go away. We'll be back here again next session talking about uncompensated care, bad debt that these hospitals are incurring, because it's staggering, folks. It is staggering.
Further discussion. Senator Landon.
I appreciate the lead sponsor. I hope that he did a good job of answering our friend's questions from Campbell County. But I do think that maybe the senator from up north was asking more specifically about the original $10 million and how that was broken down. I just wanted to remind the body. I agree that this is a sizable appropriation, senators. But this is a figure that we arrived at, which zeroes right in on the amount that the Medicaid expansion would have provided for these hospitals. It only represents about 6 or 7% of the impact on that uncompensated care. So we worked these past couple of weeks to further define that and to tighten it up and to try to identify what is the kind of care that's walking into those back doors of those hospitals that we know darn well that they know the minute they walk in, they're not going to get anything for it. And so that's why we have, that's why we zeroed in on a $9 to $10 million figure, because that's exactly what the impact was theoretically going to be if we expanded Medicaid. So that's first of all where we arrived there. And then second of all, we tried to zero in on that cost to charge ratio, that first sheet that the senator pointed out to you, to help you find exactly what is that charity care. And then we applied a percentage statewide. Where's all that charity care taking place? Where are they coming? Some of our hospitals pass that care on through to another hospital. That's why they don't have the charity care that some other hospitals do. But the one thing that that $10 million figure sheet provides for you, it does show you exactly what's going on out there. So when we revisited over the weekend, we talked about how do we recognize the small hospitals, the major hospitals, and we can talk about that a little bit more as we go. Specific to this amendment, that $10 million figure was very purposefully chosen. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and in favor of the amendment, ladies, lady and gentlemen of the Senate, there was a sheet that was provided to you last week on the start of overview, Senate File 1, which is that column right there. And what you're looking at that in that sheet is this appropriation. The appropriation, if you were to leave that entire appropriation in, if you look at that sheet, what it was, you have to remember that when we came in to the session, Mr. Chairman, that we were $222 million in the hole of covering the commitments we made under the previous budget, the budget we voted in a year ago. So we had to have $222 million just to get back to zero. And when we did that, and then if we took all of the money that we know is going to be readily available to expand, that was money from Senate File 70, 71 from a year ago. That was reversions from last year. That was money that was left over in the SIPA account that hadn't been expended or designated for appropriation. And we pulled all that number in. There was only left over, once we get even with the budget for the commitments we've already made a year ago, there was only $18 million left of readily available money. So what you see in that first column that you go there to, Mr. Chairman, is you see the specific numbers that we're allocating against that $18 million, which were some $9 million. Now, when you look at that, there, some of those are positive and some of those are negative. But the places where the money is, and if you appropriate this, you're appropriating against some of these other programs. Just to let you know some of the things that you're going to be looking at in reducing the Help America Vote Act, were expenses that we have to provide under law to the Secretary of State with regard to our compliance with that federal statute. The other big ones are, if you look at utility rate increases, almost $670,000 there. Those are for actual increase. Those are the utility costs for state buildings that they tell us that are real and need to be paid. You look at other things like the air quality replacement for AML money. Those are quality permits that are necessary to maintain and continue to provide that air quality. The big ones that are out there, though, are rebasing of nursing home rates of almost a little over three and a half million, public health nursing for $1.1 million, a DD preschool second year maintenance of effort so we can comply with the federal statute of $500,000, adult DD waiver, so a down payment on the anticipated rebasing there, $1.5 million. So when you're appropriating against this, and look at that, if you vote this 10 in, we're going to be reducing or making some other allocation to reduce those other items. So it's not just a matter of saying this is a priority. There are lots of priorities out there. It may be appropriate, and there may be that's an appropriate discussion to have during the budget bills. We talked about expenditures out of Category 2 or Category 3. But the fact of the matter is, when you come down to the end of the day, folks, it's just your own checkbook. You have to look at your own checkbook, and if you can't write the check, you can't afford. Then you can't afford to. You can't afford to go in the hole on this one. So, as you look at this on this particular amendment, I'd ask that you support this amendment, and then we can talk about the others and how this works. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, and I don't intend to debate the budget bill right now. I think that's a debate better held for when we have the budget bill in front of us. I will suggest to you that I can find you some places to cut the budget bill back so we can afford this. Now, having said that, I will say I don't really care how you vote on this amendment. I think $10 million, Mr. Chairman, is too much. I think that we'll have opportunities we go through, including today, to develop a compromise here, and I think that's what's going to be needed. So, Mr. Chairman, I really think that we ought to vote this one up, vote this one down, and go look at the compromises, because that's where we ought to spend our time in Committee of the Whole.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, on and for the amendment to remove the appropriation, I draw your attention to Article 3, Section 36, which tells the legislature that the Constitution says no appropriation shall be made for charitable, industrial, education, or benevolent purposes to any person, corporation, or community not under the absolute control of the state, nor any denominational, sectarian institution or association. Mr. Chairman, as I look at these, to the extent that these hospitals are under the absolute control, so if they're county memorial hospitals, that might be an appropriate place where you could make your appropriations to. But many of these hospitals on these lists are not county memorial hospitals. They are privately nonprofit organizations, not under the absolute control. The one in Laramie, I could tell you, is not under the absolute control. It's run by through a contract. The one in Casper is it is a private organization, nonprofit entity. The anti-appropriation clause precludes this legislature from appropriating monies to private entities that are not under the absolute control of the state.
Further discussion? Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, on that point, because it will be relevant as we go through this, the appropriation is to this new uncompensated charity account, which is administered by the Department of Health. Now, if we need to wordsmith that a little to be crystal clear about that, we can do that. But basically, the appropriation is to the department that's under our control, and they're going to be compensating the hospitals for charity care, which is clearly within the necessary support of the poor that our Constitution does authorize. So I think we're all right, but if you want to wordsmith it a bit, we can do that on second reading to make that clear. But I think fundamentally the scheme is constitutional.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I guess I would note that the distribution of funds under this bill and would be affecting the amendment is to Medicaid. It has to do with Medicaid recipients, if you look at how it's calculated, and even the uncompensated care, by definition, is compensated off of Medicaid. It is, because if you look on the worksheet that was distributed, you'll find that there's line 2. That's the front page of the worksheet. Line 2, net revenue for Medicaid, $1.3 million. Medicaid charges, $2.2 million. So they take the Medicaid charges, they divide it by the uncompensated and Indian care cost computation. So the basis of all this are folks on Medicaid that come into a hospital and seek care. What this account intends to do is to give where the hospitals have to discount those services, it allows them to raise it back up a little bit. So on the point of the constitutionality, I think we're in the realm of necessary support of the care. On the point of being practical for hospitals, this is just all about driven by Medicaid. This is not about hospitals being compensated for Cale Case when he walks into an emergency room, obtains services, and then doesn't pay it. That's not uncompensated care that's related to this bill. Just want to be clear on that.
Further discussion? Mr. President.
Mr. Chairman, I submit, folks, that if you want to adjust the Medicaid payments and increase the rate of reimbursement, all you got to do is go into the budget bill and put your more money, put your additional funding in, and increase it. But what you're not allowed to do as legislators is to appropriate directly to any entity not controlled by the state. Now, it is, in a separate issue, we're allowed to appropriate monies for the care of indigent folks. That is true. But that appropriation needs to become before the service is provided, not after the service is provided. It makes a difference. It's no different than having a state employee provide services and then a year later said, you know, we'd like to go back and pay for those services. The Constitution has other provisions that say that you cannot compensate folks for services after they've been performed. So it does make a difference when you're providing for the care of the for indigent. You need to figure it out in front at the time the services are provided, and they need to be tied to those services as they're provided. But it's a dangerous precedent to go down a pathway where we say we're prohibited from doing it directly. Let's figure out a way to do it indirectly. Now, if you want to go back and say it's for this for indigent folks under Medicaid programs, then call it what it is. Put your funding into the Medicaid program and increase the rate of reimbursement.
Senator Christensen, I think. Where are you?
Oh, there you are. There you are.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment. Folks, we have to be careful before we start talking about just slipping back in, as was previously mentioned, and changing Medicaid issues. One of the traps here, as I understand it, is you put the money in the wrong place and the federal government just looks at it and zeroes it out and changes their commitment. So be careful about falling for that one and inadvertently further funding the federal government. Let's vote this one down.
Senator Landon?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hearken back to the second year I was in this body, and we've actually done this before. And we've distributed money on uncompensated care because we have at times recognized when our hospital network was stressed and in need of support from this body. I submit to you that that time has come again. I think that what we're talking about here is the front line of this battle that we're waging on health care. We're the tent. We're the officer's tent, and way out there on the front line, that's the hospitals. And they're the ones taking the hits. And so what we've done is worked very hard to identify this charity care. Now, this is an application process. This isn't post-game. When they come in, they apply for this. And they have to show their records, their financial records. If you want to hold it until you do it again, we could wordsmith that also. But this is a track record that shows you about what's going on out there. We thought that there was a little bit less chance for the hospitals to game the system if we based it on a year or two ago, something that's already been established. We already know that they provided that charity care. And I think, I happen to believe, and I'm not the attorney that some of my friends in here are. Right in to what we're talking about here. The necessary support of the poor that we're requiring our hospital network to take care of out there. So up or down on the $10 million, Mr. Chairman, but You know, there's a reason why we selected that figure. Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, on one of the constitutional questions that was raised, I think I understand where they're coming from on that. It's quite easy to remedy on second reading. You use the calculations that are in this bill to establish a limit, and then you pay it out as the charity care occurs during the coming year, and that will well exceed what's available. So that's no problem at all. We can deal with that one with a second reading amendment. It is a defect in the bill right now, but we can fix that without any great difficulty. Again, I think the $10 million is too high. I think we can reach a reasonable compromise, Mr. Chairman. So let's get on with this amendment and get on to the real stuff.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Couldn't agree more. I just want to make sure we answered those questions and the question from the good senator from Gillette. I just wanted to make sure that second page of breakdown is based on charges, not cost. So those are charges. There's a difference there, too, and I hope that answers that question, because that first page was just basically what we were using to plug in that $10 million fund expenditure, and they were considering bad debt charity care, but it's based on charges and not so much cost. As you see, that then you turn the page over to the next chart, and those are actually based on costs. So that's why those figures are different. Again, this was being worked on the fly in a quick amount of time, realizing what might happen to the other Senate file and realizing that we have a problem out there. The one last thing I was going to talk about and just bring you to point was, during this process, our Department of Health brought up the concern, because the way the original bill was addressed or brought about was addressing Medicaid, the shortfall. So if we were to put $10 million into supplanting or helping our hospitals with these Medicaid clients, the federal government in turn would reduce their participation by $12 million. So we'd be supplanting the federal government, subsidizing them and the Medicaid effort. So we didn't want to do that. So we changed it to charity care. There is a difference between charity care and Medicaid. And if you see online 18 on that first form, there's a line in there that says government grants, appropriations, transfers, or support of hospital operations, and there's an amount there. So that's deducted from their Medicaid reimbursements. So we walked this fine line with our federal partners, realizing that we were trying to help out our hospitals with this uncompensated charity care that perhaps a lot of them would have qualified for the Medicaid under the Medicaid expansion. So we'd go home, proud of the fact that we didn't grow a social program, but it was on our provider's dime. And I just didn't feel very comfortable about that. Folks, that's where this all lies. Now the discussion should be, if we do decide, and if it is a priority to help, is $10 million more than enough? Is $5 million? And hopefully I provide you this information. We provide you this information so you can see on that chart what it would mean to your hospitals. Basically, if I have a dollar debt and I get a quarter back, or I get 50 cents back on that dollar debt, that's what we're talking about with this Senate File 145. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking on and against the amendment, and, you know, it seems to me that, you know, the person on the street, many of our citizens that don't have insurance, I don't think they care whether this is constitutional or not constitutional. And I don't think they much care whether the health care is covered by federal funds or state funds. But the message we're sending seems to me that is one that they do care, and it seems like the message we're sending is so maybe at some point health care is going to be denied. Is that the direction we're going? Thank you.
Further discussion. The question's on committee. The whole amendment number one. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay?
No.
The amendment's been defeated. Division being called for. All in favor, please stand. All opposed, please stand. The amendment's been defeated, 18 to 11. The next amendment we have is the second reading, or excuse me, committee of the whole amendment number 2. The reading clerk, please read the amendment.
Senate file 145, committee of the whole amendment number 2 to substitute bill. Delete the second standing committee amendment.
Senator Peterson.
Mr. Chairman, I would move committee of the whole amendment number 2 to Senate file 145. Ask for the body's favorable consideration. This is an amendment, basically, to take care of some problems with the bill. If you page 2, line 16, we remove R continuously to make it pretty much known that this is a one-shot, one-time. Line 4, we talk about that distribution formula of the two-thirds, one-third. Line 4, we delete the $10 million, replace it with $5 million. And I think that's appropriate. Page 4, line 15, excuse me. Remove the $10 million, replace it with the $5 million. Realizing that this is one time, it would allow us to go back to our constituents, hospitals, and say, we recognize there's uncompensated care, budget concerns, this is the best that we could do. And then page 4, line 21, just deleting and cleaning that up there. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would ask for the body's favorable consideration on this amendment.
Question. Discussion, Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, here we're starting to get to the meat of the bill. And we're developing, Mr. Chairman, major problems with a number of our health care institutions. Several of them we'll talk about in the budget because the problems largely have to do with Medicaid. This one doesn't. This one, the problems are developing in our hospitals. There are a number of reasons for that. There's the evolution of the medical payment systems. There's the fact that we don't compensate as well for complex cases as we do for simple ones. There's problems with the smaller hospitals, particularly coming out of Medicare cutbacks, particularly coming out of the amount of uncompensated care they're having to give the charity care. This amendment does target those critical access hospitals. It won't solve all the problems. It will help on a one-time basis with the most serious of the problems, and it will give us a little breathing room. But, Mr. Chairman, don't anybody think this is going to be the last word, because as we see the evolution of health care, we're going to have some other problems with our hospital system and threats that we just can't afford to not deal with. And this gives us a little time, gives us a little breathing room. I think it's a good amendment. We can debate on future readings whether 5,000 is the right amount or whether it's still too much. But the targeting here is very good and very much needed.
Further discussion. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to divide the amendment, please.
Whoa.
Senator Burns?
Lines 1 through 10 and lines 20 through 27 will be Division 1.
Lines 1 through 10 and lines 20 through 27 be Division 1.
And then lines 12 through 19.
Lines 12 through 19 would be Division 2. That is divisible.
And, Mr. Chairman, I would stand and speak, no more than say in favor of Division 1.
We're on Division 1, which is lines 1 through 10 and 20 through 27. Senator Ross.
I feel strongly both ways. Shoot. Well, I urge you to vote for division number one. I will still tell you that I am conflicted. Goldenrod's going to show us $600,000 in the hole tomorrow, but it's way better than the $10 million that you yahoos stood up and voted for.
Senator Meyer.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to further divide the amendment on one, and that just goes to line 8, page 2, line 16. That would be division number 3, which says delete continuously. I would like to rise in support of that. I think it's a different subject than the money question. That's a continuous appropriation aspect of it, and I think that one I hope we can all.
Senator Meyer, are you proposing Division 3, which I understood to be Line 8? Is that
yes.
correct?
Yes. All right, and I'd like the body just to vote on that and dispense with that one first.
You want to delete that first?
Senator Meyer, we're going to have to wait on Division 3 because we are still on Division 1.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would like to divide it, and we'll catch up with it later.
We're on. That is divisible. Line 8 is divisible. Members of the Senate, we're on Division 1, which is lines 1 through 10, excluding Line 8, and lines 20 through 27. All in favor of that division, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay?
No.
That division's been adopted. We're on Division 2, which is lines 12 through 19. Any discussion? Senator Landon.
And just real quickly, to go back to the discussions that we were having, we throughout the previous week, we understood from a lot of folks that there was a little bit of heartburn that the majority of this funding was going to be going to the big hospitals. That wasn't necessarily our idea, but by the same token, we didn't feel like those critical access hospitals, there's 16 of them, by the way, 11 of them, I think, have nursing home attachments, and so we definitely understood and felt like we needed to target, you know, those small hospitals out there. But we likewise could not ignore, if you look at the breakdown of where that charity care is taking place, you got to look at the four or five biggest communities in our state. And to not even recognize that charity care is going on there, too, we didn't think that was right. So what we've tried to do is to emphasize our critical access hospitals, but at the same time recognize that 60-70% of the charity care going on out there is taking place at those big hospitals. So I hope that helps to understand why we broke it down the way we did. We think this is a good compromise and a good division. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and four.
We are on Division 2. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I'm against Division 2. I don't think that the sponsors of the bill were responsible for the breakdown between acute hospitals and critical access hospitals. But there is a line in there, and frankly, the line tends to get, it becomes an important line. And let me give you an example. Anytime we're talking about fiscal aspects, a good comparator always, as far as fairness goes, frankly, is your county, Mr. Chairman, Park County and Sheridan County. They have roughly the same populations. They have close to the same assessments. They're very similar in that sense. And if you look at page 2 of the handout, when you get to bad debt and Sheridan Memorial Hospital is at the bottom of the acute hospitals, and West Park Memorial out of Cody is the fourth one down on the critical access hospitals. And you look, and there may be a difference between how they treat bad debt versus charity care. So if you look at the total between the two, there's a difference of less than $100,000. We're talking $6.8 million versus $6.7 million in terms of total debt. Now let's see what this amendment does between Sheridan and Johnson. Sheridan and Park County. Go to page 4. And here's your total share of the $5 million appropriation. Sheridan County gets $72,000. Park County gets $377,000. These hospitals are not that big in terms of difference, and they're not nearly as big in terms of resources that they can have. This amendment is innately unfair. It was aimed at the larger counties. It's aimed at Laramie County here and Natrona County up there. But what you're doing is you're hurting a number of smaller hospitals that are on this list. And I'm simply pointing out Sheridan because that's the one that jumped out at me. But you include Lander, Riverton, and a few of the others here that are getting hurt by this amendment. I would ask you to kill this portion of the amendment, and they've got two more readings to come back and come back with something a little more fair.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, of course, part of the problem that we're having is that since these are not entirely public entities, we have no assurances that these entities all have a common accounting system that provides for the similar or the same mechanism of how they calculate their charity care. But we do know there are substantial differences between these facilities. And one of the things that I'd ask the sponsors of the bill to do is come back to us with a full reporting of which of these hospitals are accumulating reserves and how much of the reserves that they post in the last 5 years. So that in the case of my local hospital, they do report posting of reserves. They don't call them profits because it's a nonprofit entity. But they do post reserves, substantial reserves, and that's what they build their building account for. They do a number of other things. And you see one of the largest hospitals in the state there has one of the posted the largest charity care amount there. Again, we've had this discussion. I haven't driven by that hospital in the last 10 years where there wasn't major construction going on. There's two other hospitals in that community being constructed. So what's happening here is we're undertaking, whether we do it out of guilt or whatever reason for having voted other remedies down, other compensation, we're now taking a flawed analysis and trying to allocate resources to among these institutions. But what we do know and what we have heard is that there is a categorical treatment of acute hospitals and critical access hospitals, and the categorical treatment is different on how they charge, what they can collect, and most likely what we're being told is what they post to reserves. And so the issue is probably a better question. Should we be giving anything to the acute hospitals? But if we're going to do it, folks, please come back and show us the record with respect to all of the reserves being posted by all the hospitals. Let us see their books. My guess is they won't show you the books because they're not public entities. But at least this is a better approach, so on and for the amendment.
We're on Division 2, Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, it is a better approach, and speaking on and for the amendment, because it does target the difficulty, and frankly, my hospital gets hurt. My community gets hurt with this amendment compared to the bill as it stands. But as chairman of your Labor, Health, and Social Services Committee, I can tell you it's my judgment that there are real problems in these critical access hospitals. They are, and the distinction is the number of beds. If you're under 25, you're critical access. If you're over 25, you aren't. So there's a clear distinction. And they are using a common system of classifying things here. This is all off, as I understand, the CMS cost reports that are done with a common methodology, common definitions, and a definition of charity care that would clearly meet our necessary support of the poor test. So you've got those factors in common. It may be that we can further refine this. And I think ultimately in future years we'll have to, because I'm concerned about a couple of the acute hospitals as well. But they've got, the larger hospitals have got more options, more resources. They aren't likely to get in the kind of crisis trouble as likely as these critical access hospitals. So I'd urge support of the amendment.
Further discussion on division number two. The question's on division number two, lines 12 through 19. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay?
No.
Division number two's been adopted. Division three being line 8. You ready for the question? The question's on division three. That being line 8. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay? That's been adopted. Back on the bill. The motion's on Senator Scott's motion that Senate File 145 passed Committee of the Whole. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay?
No.
Senate File 145 is passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I'm glad to see you.
Glad to see you too, Mr. Chairman. You look pretty good up there. Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You've all heard the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay? Mr. President.
Do you have any messages to read?
Yeah.
What's your message from the House?
From the House, and we have
messages from the House. Here you go.
February the 9th, 2015, from the House of Representatives, message. Third reading, passed, amended. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill Number 11, Distance Education Task Force, ayes 47, noes 13. House Bill Number 197, Emergency Vehicles, Tow Trucks, and Wreckers, ayes 59, noes 1. House Bill Number 212, Workers' Compensation Claim Apportionment, ayes 58, noes 2. House Bill Number 237, Water and Sewer District Contracts, ayes 60. House Bill Number 158, Sexual Assault Custody Rights, ayes 49, noes 11. House Bill Number 201, Deposits by Political Subdivisions, ayes 52, noes 8. House Bill Number 243, Child Abuse, ayes 55, noes 5. House Bill Number 210, Guardian Ad Litem Division, ayes 32, noes 28. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. From the House of Representatives, message number 262, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill Number 233, Branch Bank Licensing Expiration, ayes 60. Oh, you want this one? Ready? Concurrence? Okay. February the 9th, 2015, from the House of Representatives, message number 267, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 14, Asset Forfeiture 2, the Senate file above listed, passed on third reading in amended form, as follows by the vote indicated, ayes 54, noes 6, The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
February the 9th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 17, engrossed, sexual assault protection orders, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senator Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, Kinsey, Von Fladeren, Senator Christensen, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that does clear the desk.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Announcements? Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your travel committee number 6 will meet tomorrow at 8 a.m. in room S14 to consider House Bill 104, engrossed, big and trophy game licenses reservation.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet tomorrow, Tuesday, February 10th, 30 minutes after noon recess, in room S16 to discuss House Bill 5, Property Tax Refund Program Extension, House Bill 6, Engrossed, Airline Companies Assessment, and House Bill 9, Engrossed, Alternative Fuel Taxation.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Appropriations Committee will meet in a few minutes in S11 to consider the following bills: House Bill 67, Wyoming Retirement Systems Amendments, and House Bill 72, Volunteer Firefighter and EMT Pension Account. We will not hear House Bill 65 today.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, will meet at 10 minutes till 1 in S18. To consider House Bill 53, Engrossed, Minerals to Value-Added Products Program, House Bill 27, Engrossed, NRC Agreement, State Authorization, and if time permits, House Bill 60, Engrossed, Trust Company Amendments.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 7, Corporations, will meet tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m. in room S19. We're going to take up House Bill 3, Engrossed, Department of Insurance Fine Schedules, House Bill 40, Insurance Adjusters, Portable Electronic Devices, and stay by it, Mr. President. This one's not for me. I'm doing this for all of you. House Bill 4, Engrossed, Barbering License Requirements.
Any further amendments or announcements? There have been none. You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The motion's been granted. Motion's been adopted. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2 p.m.